All right, so let's talk about Gaiva. Now, again, I was asked to talk about arrogance, Gaiva, how not to be judgmental and arrogant around people when you're going back to America. So we're going to talk about what Chazal. Again, this is obviously a very big topic. This is not an exhaustive list by any means, but we're going to give what a lot of the Musar's forums say about Gaiva, hopefully with enough content and inspiration that that'll help and advice, etc., etc. So the first thing to mention is how important Tikkun HaMidos is. Again, fixing Midos. I was watching Rav Asher Weiss on YouTube the other day, and he just points out that the 49 Yemei HaSfira, so a lot of the 49 days in the Sfira, obviously a lot of the Musar Rabbeim point out that that's keneged the 48 ways to be Konen the Torah. There's 48 ways, Chazal point out, to acquire Torah, and he says the Yemei HaSfira is connected that. And obviously, there's an extra day in there, right? It doesn't take advanced math to do that. So there are different pshatim as to what you do with the extra day, right? If you do one, this is not the Sfiros. You've heard of the Sfiros, that's like Hasidic stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 48 ways to be Konen the Torah. It's more for yeshiva guys and Limud HaTorah and that type of stuff. Anyway, long story short, why am I saying that? Is because Rav Asher Weiss felt that the extra day was for Derech Eretz. And the extra day is not at the end, but it's at the beginning. And he says, based on Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, before you embark on this journey of Kinyan LaTorah, first Derech Eretz Kadma VaTorah, that Midos comes first. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that La'olam al tish lo tishkon batorah ela beguf shematukan b'midos tovos. A person, right, to study Torah and dwell in Torah and live a life of Torah, you need to have a guf that is fixed with midos tovos. If you don't have derech eretz, you're not going anywhere. And then Nesivas Shalom, again, this is going to be similar, going to sound familiar to Nechama because we're learning it together actually. But in Nesivas Achinuch, he writes that midos are foundations to Jewish life. He quotes Rav Chaim Vital, right, in Shari Kedusha. Again, Rav Chaim Vital, the number one Talmud of the Arizal. Right, he wonders why the Torah does not say, thou shalt not have bad midos. Right, it doesn't say beferish, don't be arrogant, don't be taivadik, don't be chutzpahdik. Right, it doesn't say beferish. And he points out, why doesn't it say that, right? It says Pirkei Avos, right? Kina gaiva v'taiva matzina olam, right? That jealousy and arrogance and desire remove a person from this world. Shlomo says in Mishlei that Tovas Hashem kol gavalev, that it's abomination to Hashem, anybody who is arrogant, right? Mishlei and Tes Zayin Hey. Gemara says in Shabbos, Duf Kuf Hey, that kol hakoes ki lu avodah avodah zarah, anybody who gets angry is as if he worships avodah zarah. The question is, right, why doesn't the Torah say, right, have good midos? For our purposes, right, we'll just again just because we're centering on Gaiva, we'll just point out what the Gemara says about Gaiva. The Gemara in Sota, and Daf Dal, and Daf Hey, right, has a whole list about how bad it is to be Gaivadic, to have arrogance. It's actually very similar to the list about Lashon Hara, right? A lot of the similar phraseology, right? We quoted a list in Erechin about how bad it is to say Lashon Hara. So you have a similar list about how bad it is to be Gaivadik, right? Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, right? Call Adam sheyesh lo gasas ruach kilu ovid avodah zarah, right? It's as if you're ovid avodah zarah. Rabbi Yochanan himself says kilu kafir be'ikar, it's if you're a kofir. Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina says it's as if you're a haba kol arayos, it's as if you violate all the arayos. Okay, that's intense, right? Ula says it's as if you built an altar that you're not allowed to build, right? You only can offer korbanos and beis hamikdash. Rabbi Ami says, "Kol adam ishu b'gasas ruach l'sof mismayit." Anybody who is arrogant inevitably will be lowered. Hashem will lower him or her. Rabbi Yosef says, "A person should learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That because what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Right? He gave the Torah on Har Sinai, right? Which was obviously the lowest, right? And he gave and he rested his presence on the lowest of all the bushes when he appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Sneh is a low bush. He didn't appear in a cedar tree. He appeared in a low bush. So we should learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who quote-unquote lowered himself, right? It was mismayet himself, and we should be humble as well. Rabbi Elazar says, person who is arrogant, right, should be cut down like an Asherah tree. Rabbi Elazar says again, call Adam Sheish B'Gazaz Ruach, Ein Afar Ninar, he won't rise at Tchias HaMesim. That's intense. The Hashem cries about him. And finally, the one that I think maybe people have heard of, and probably you could figure out, right? Rav Chisda says, or Mar Okva says, anybody who's arrogant, the Kosh Baruch Hu says, I can't live with this guy in the same world, right? Me ain aniva, we can't live in the same universe. So as again, as we said, Rav Chaim Vital, right? Why doesn't the Torah say beferish, right? Don't have bad midos. As an aside, just the Gemara there in Daf Hey does suggest several possibilities for an azhara, for an iser against being arrogant. Again, I'm not one to argue with Rav Chaim Vital, but okay, whatever. But in general, it doesn't say, right? Why, don't have bad midos. So why isn't there an iser for don't be a jerk? So again, as we said before, we pointed out similar, Rav Chaim Vital says that because good midos is a prerequisite to the Torah rather than a specific mitzvah, right? Lack of midos is a flaw in one's basic identity as a Jew. It's not a specific iser, right? It's not like you keep Shabbos, but you're a Baal Gaiva, right? It's before you get there. Right, Nesivos Shalom again. He points out that 613 mitzvot are 613 ways to attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to dwell amongst us. Right, Pasuk says, Hashem wants to dwell within us. But as long as a person has not refined their character, right, a person has bad midos, they are not a kli. They are not a vessel that can house Hashem's presence. Right, as Rav Chisda said, right, as we said the last one, right, Hashem says, me and him can't live in the same world. Right, again, the Baal Shem Tov darshans out when Moshe says, "Anuchi omid bein Hashem eveneichem," in Sefer Dvarim, right, he's explaining Maamad Har Sinai that he was the intermediary between Hashem and Bnei Israel, and he said that I was standing there between you and Hashem. Right, so but the Baal Shem Tov darshans out, "Anuchi, I, omid bein Hashem eveneichem, stands between Hashem and you," meaning the Anuchi you, to right, the me, the what I need. Right, when your arrogance that says, who is Hashem that should tell me what to do, right? The meanness, right? The focusing on yourself, right, is what stands between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're a Baal Gaiva, if you have arrogance, can't even begin your Torah life, right? Things don't even get off the ground. Okay, now we're going to quote a bunch of different Sfarim, what a bunch of different Sfarim say about Gaiva. Again, things may repeat a little bit one on the other. I don't want to, I didn't organize it based on topic. I wanted to just kind of just get what a couple Svarim say. I thought that would be more valuable. Again, maybe in the future I'll reorganize it, but let's just go through it. The Igaris Ramban, I'm not going to read it now, I'm going to read it a little bit later. Remind me to read it because I don't want to forget. Has a whole thing about Gaiva. He points out why in the world should a person be gaivedic? Kosh Baruch Hu gives you everything. But the little sefer, right, this fantastic sefer, if you don't have it, right, if you want to easy, this is tip number one. If you want to work in your Gaiva, read this. Okay, it's very thin. And the author who wrote it, Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer, he has a bunch of like little 2 or 3 pages just to read every single day. So a couple of things that he writes is as follows. He quotes the Rebbe of Komarno in a sefer called Notzer Chesed, who explains, what does it mean that a person gets angry as if he's worshiping idols? That's what the Gemara says, right? Again, we pointed out, right, that the Gemara in Shabbos, right? Shabbos Daf Kofei. A person gets angry, it's as if they're worshiping idols, right? As if he's a kofar, right? As if when a person
And
is
does this
gaivedik,
stop?
what? What's up? Say again. How are you? How's it going?
No, sorry.
No, it's totally
Hi.
fine. Don't worry.
Sorry, I
Don't worry. Don't
got
worry.
on and it was muted automatically, so
Oh, good. No worry. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All right, we've all done it. We've all been there.
you can continue.
We've all been there. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's classic Zoom. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yes.
Okay. So says Rav Feuer, he quotes Rebbe of Komarno, and he says, when a person's gaivedik, that means that they are worshiping themselves, right? He quotes an avodah zarah. Quotes a Gemara in avodah zarah. Quotes a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It says in Avraham Avinu, right? Fascinating Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yudalid, says that Avraham Avinu wrote a Sefer Musar that was 400 chapters on the Isser of Avodah Zarah, which makes sense, right? That's what Avraham was fighting against. That was his thing. Except that the Rebbe Komarno says it was all about Gaiva. Not what the Gemara says. That's not what the Gemara says. But it said it was all about Gaiva because when you are Gaivedic, right, you are worshipping yourself, right, as opposed to worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And again, the Ramban says, if what are you going to be gaivedic for? What are you going to be arrogant because of? Right? He talks about wealth, honor, and intelligence. So we'll just mention those three quickly. Again, for you guys, again, specifically for some girls who are freshbacks, not because of wealth, I would imagine, Again, maybe it is. Hashem should all bless us with health, with wealth, and then you'll deal with the guy that comes, amen, right? Ken Yeratzon, right? The guy that comes about through wealth. But he just mentions just very quickly, right? Akash Baruch Hu is the one who gives people wealth, right? I told you guys the story of that guy from Cleveland, right? Who may got rich at like 55 because he was walking through a really bad neighborhood one day, and he's like, "Why are all these houses boarded up if they're foreclosed?" Right? It makes the houses look terrible. You could just use plastic instead of plywood, and then you wouldn't make the house wouldn't make it look into a look like a sketchy neighborhood. Anyway, long story short, I don't understand all the details, but he became a billionaire off that single idea, and it became a tremendous Baal Tzedakah, and he died 10 years later. So at so Akash Baruch Hu does all this stuff, right? Again, Akash Baruch Hu's in charge of. You think we're in charge of our parnasa? We put in the effort. Yes, we've talked about many times about parnasa, and we'll maybe do a shiur about parnasa, right? That's that's a curse, right? That we Akash Baruch Hu made, but that we have to put in the effort, right, and do the shtadlus. But again, our parnasa is from Akash Baruch Hu, right? It's not based on this guy's business idea, that guy's business idea. This guy worked harder, right? Sometimes that's true, but sometimes that's not true, right? Sometimes people work their heads off and are not successful. Right? Akash Baruch Hu gives atzlacha to people for the most random things, and Akash Baruch Hu takes things away on a dime, right? The Madoff, the stock market collapse, COVID, right? Things can disappear in a second, right? Trump is introducing tariffs. I don't understand business, but apparently that's really bad. I don't know. Anything can change in a second, right? And in the other way, right? Again, El Al, people were not really so happy with El Al. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you have a war, and 2 years later, El Al is the most prosperous airline in the world. And now, the tourism sector, not so much. Right? But again, there's no reason to be arrogant because Hashem has given you money, right? He can give it to you, and he can take it away, right? Just be appreciative, use your money for mitzvot, be thankful, and don't be gaivadik, right? Because of your money. Okay, just the 2 seconds about money, but that's not our topic over here for you guys. Maybe a person's gaivadik says they're Ramban because they're looking for honor, for kavod. And that doesn't mean like, honor me and sit me on a throne and pick grapes and put them into my mouth while I'm, that's not what it means. It means a person's own kavod, that they hold themselves, the standard they hold themselves to. The Mishnah, Mrs. Sharon Perek Yudalef talks a lot about gaiva, and he writes that a person's own kavod, a person's honor, right, is man's most powerful drive more than any other desire, right? Not honor, again, not honor like a king, but a person wants to be respected, right, and quote unquote honored, right, by your friends, by your peers, by your spouses, right? All that awkwardness in public. Right. Whenever we're afraid of doing things weird in public, whatever, it's because we want people to treat us with honor, right, and respect. Right. Rav Feuer, again, in the Egeres Ramban English thing, quotes the Gemara Chulin. And he says that Akash Baruch Hu says to Bnei Yisrael, I'm going to give you some of you kavod and honor. I want you to give that honor back to me. And how does that? The Gemara proves it from Avram, right? He gave kavod to Avram, and Avram said, Anochi Afar Ve'efer, right? I am dust and dirt. He gave it to Moshe and Aaron, and they said, Anachnu Ma Ki Salino Alav, right? What are we that you're complaining to us? Right? David said, Ani Tolas V'lo Iyesh. David and Tehillim says, I am a worm and not a man. Right? And so Akash Baruch Hu gave those people kavod, and they realized that their kavod came from Akash Baruch Hu. But as opposed to other people who were lifted up, like Nimrod and Paro and Sancheiriv and Nebuchadnezzar, they all became Bali Gaiva, and they didn't stay humble. When we have kavod from other people, we have to remember that is from Akash Baruch Hu. And Akash Baruch Hu can raise us up, and he can cast us down. Right? Rav Feuer quotes from Mesillas Yesharim later, right, in Perek Chof Beis. Is that a person's abilities should be compared to their obligations. I mean, just because you have extra abilities, and we'll talk about that again soon, doesn't mean that you should raise yourself up over other people. It means you should work harder, right? He quotes Rabbi Sol Salanter, who says that he knew he had the capacity of 1,000 men, but that also meant he had the obligation, right, of 1,000 men. And that's how we have to view our abilities. If we have certain skills or whatever, it's not because Hashem made us better than someone else. It's because Hashem gave us a responsibility, right, to use that, right, better. Right? We've talked about my Rebbe, Rabbi Yonason Sacks, who had a photographic memory. He would always talk about how he worked on his memory, right, all the time. Right? He worked on trying to make sure that it was up to snuff, even though he had a photographic memory. He said he worked harder than maybe any person I've ever met in my life. And we talked about this vort by Bezalel over there, right? Okay, but I'm rambling.
I
Long
have a
story
question.
short, yeah, shoot. Yeah, get a question because I was getting off topic. Yeah.
To clarify, you said that Hashem gave honor to them, like David HaMelech, whatever, so that they
Right.
can give honor back to Hashem. Is that also for our times today? That's why one gets honor?
I would imagine so. Meaning Hashem gives us kavod to realize, to see if we'll realize where the kavod comes from. And we'll attribute that kavod appropriately. I would argue so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, another reason the Ramban says a person has gaiva is because maybe they're intelligence, right? Maybe you think you're smart, you're better than other people, right? This is the easiest one, I would argue, to understand. Who gave you your intelligence, right? And I would add to intelligence all other physical attributes, right? You think you're more attractive or fun or friendly or whatever, right? Than your friend, that makes you arrogant, right? Who do you think made you that way? Right? You come from a certain family? Like, how did you luck into this situation? Right? The other person comes from a lower family? Like, that stuff obviously is ridiculous, right? Hashem is the one who put your neshama in your body, right? And obviously stuck you in whatever situation, right? You're in, right? Hashem is the one who helps you remember stuff, right? When you're matzliach on a test or in school, right? Ever get stuck, like trying to remember something, right? And something just pops into your head, right? We've all had that. Who do you think remembered that? You think you did that all by yourself? Or maybe someone, right, with a capital S, happened to put it in your brain, right? Let me see again. Let me see what Sharm says in Perek Chav Beis, right? Even the most accomplished Talmid Chacham makes mistakes. And he writes that a person does not deserve any credit for their own genius, right? A person who knows more than other people is simply following their nature, right? A person who's studious in nature, right, and happens to know more information, that's because he likes to read and he doesn't like to play sports. I don't know. He says it's no different than a bird who flaps his wings and flies, right? A person is wise because a Kosh Baruch Hu gives them that intelligence. There's no room or reason for any pride or gaiva or whatever, right? It says again, according to Rabbi Yochanan in Pirkei Avos, right? If you've learned a lot of Torah, don't take credit. That's what you were created for, right? If Kosh Baruch Hu gives you the ability to study, to understand and learn, right? So that's not something to be prideful for. It's just something that you're obligated to do, right? And you should share it with other people.
I have a
And again,
question.
I would, yeah.
Why is it that maybe you don't know the answer, but I
I
think
might
you do.
not.
No.
It is
Okay.
possible.
Why is it that like after you like did well on a test or like you did well like I don't know like somewhere and like your answer is always like oh yeah Baruch Hashem like. Yeah, thank God, like Hashem helped me, or like Hashem gave me that, or whatever. Number one, why is it that, like, we, like, yeah, we're saying bar, I'm saying Baruch Hashem, but like, I'm not like feeling it necessarily, like the actual, like, blessed God, thank you for giving me that. And number two, why is it also that, like, I could say Baruch Hashem to that, but I am like, I'm like, oh yeah, I know, like, God gave me that. I'm like, thank God, I literally only passed the test because of God, but I can't say Baruch Hashem to, like, I don't know, like thinking that I'm like, I don't know, like with everything else I have, like, what if I just think I'm like better, not better,
Better
but
than
like, what
everyone.
if I just like, you know, like, I don't know. Adira, put your face
No, I
away.
know what you mean. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Listen,
I'm
some
not
things.
saying anything. I'm just
Yeah.
like, hypothetically, like,
Asking for a friend. I know what you mean.
yeah,
By the way,
totally. I also feel this. I feel like saying Baruch Hashem is so robotic that I don't have any meaning to it anymore. That it's just like, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's just another conversational statement. But what's the connection to it if I feel that it's not that?
Again, I don't disagree. I think that's good. Right, we should just knee-jerk Baruch Hashem, right? I think that's fine, because it obviously, even though you think you're not saying anything about it, it's you are, right? And it's not just like a person says, "Oh, that's you did so well on the test," and you say Baruch Hashem instead of saying "I know," like that's better, right? We can all agree that that's better, but that's first of all, with anything in life, it's hard to when you get used to something, it's hard to kind of internalize it. But that doesn't mean you should stop doing it, right? Just because we skip through davening doesn't mean we should stop davening, right? It means you should just work on it and think about it a little bit longer. And it turns of you thinking about yourself being God's gift to the world, we'll get to, don't worry. We'll get to that soon.
I have a
Don't worry.
question.
Yeah, shoot.
What we were talking about before, like, is it that, let's say a person was blessed with a specific koach, is it that they, well, yes, that Hashem gave them that koach, but also that they are doing their hishtadlu, like, constantly in order to, like, keep that koach going? Like, let's say someone wants a certain koach, but maybe they don't have it. Can they access it? I don't know if this is what we're saying, but like, is it something you can do based off of like Hishtadlu, or is it something like Hashem's only giving it? Like, let's say someone's dumb, but they want to be smart. Like, why did Hashem make them dumb if they want to be smart?
So there are a couple of things. There are things that you can control and things you can't control, right? So again, depending on what you're talking about, and maybe you want to clarify, I'm not sure, but it's if it's something that you can put in the effort to do, so then you should do that. That being said, right, we have to also recognize that just because we put in the effort doesn't mean that necessarily we're in control of the result, right? We can study for a test, and Kosh Baruch is the one who really puts it in our brain, even though we put in the Ishtadlos, and that's how it works, and we're supposed to do that. And but our tzlacha comes because Kosh Baruch helped us remind us. The same thing with Parnassah, with working. We can go to work, we can have a great idea, we can market the heck out of our idea, but if we don't have a certain amount of tzlacha, right, for Sadi Yishmaya, so we got nothing. So there is a balance. There definitely is a balance between putting in your own effort and realizing that everything's from a Kosh Baruch Hu. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, fine. And we'll, I feel, as we go on, I think we'll get to other topics, and you'll get the idea. If there are any questions before the smoke, you'll clarify. We'll clarify. Okay. Let's right. Okay. One more thing that I would get that the Ramban I just mentioned doesn't get to, for you freshbacks, right, is that arrogance comes from a little bit of a sense of a little holier than thou, a little bit of righteousness, a little bit of judging everyone who's living life, right? All those people who are living like Rabbi Locke said was abominable and disgusting, right? So how could they not have seen the light when we have all seen the light? Right? Okay, we'll get to that later, but Ramban doesn't talk about that specifically, but we'll get to that later. And finally, just to again, we quoted that Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph. So just to recap, he writes it very beautifully. He says the desire for kavod. This is translated-ish and paraphrased. The desire for kavod tugs at a person's heart more than any other desire in the world. If not for kavod or for a desire for kavod, a person would be happy to eat whatever, wear whatever, right? Live in a simple house that just protects them from the elements. I would just personally add, I would add, drive a car that gets you from A to B and doesn't show off your status. Work at a job that pays the bills. Marry a guy who truly keeps you, makes you happy, and you wouldn't worry about social or anything else. Kavodik. You would obtain your livelihood with little effort. You would feel no need to exert yourself to become rich. But right, in order not to, this is again the Mesillas Yesharim writes, in order not to see yourself as lower or lesser than your friends or your peers, man puts a yoke upon his neck so that there's no end to his work and his labor. Right. In summary, right, the desire for kavod, right, is one of man's greatest stumbling blocks, and you can't be a true Eved Hashem as long as you're trying to increase your own honor and kavod. And he says that in all circumstances, a person's foolishness will lead him to detract from kavod shemayim. Right, you run after your own kavod that automatically detracts from kavod shem shemayim. I would just add, like we learned by an Eved Ivri, right? You cannot serve two masters. Right, a person cannot serve himself and cannot serve a Kosh Baruch Hu at the same time. That's what Kosh Baruch Hu said, "Ki avadai heim, bnei Yisrael are mine." Right, he says it a couple times in Parshas Behar. Right, we don't want an Eved Ivri. Right, it's not good when an Eved Ivri stays with his master. We are avadim of a Kosh Baruch Hu. That's not a bad thing. That's just what we are. And when we're serving ourselves, right, that's how we're theoretically doing avodah zarah. Because we're serving ourselves and not a Kosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's move over to the Alei Shor of Wolbe, and Alei Shor, who writes again. We're gonna get a little bit more practical here. That was already kind of like theoretical and what the Gemara says and the backgrounds, etc. We're gonna get a little more practical. We'll get some more Chos Tzadikim as well. But Rav Wolbe writes in Alei Shor as follows, and he says the problem with gaiva, with arrogance, is twofold. First of all, gaiva is natural. Right, arrogance is natural, right? A child who starts to walk at, I don't know, 9 months or a year, right, is super proud of its newfound ability, right? It's a natural thing that is created in humans. He says the problem number two is that usually what works for bad midos is to just go study Torah. Right, we talked about it last week, right? Learning Lashon Hara. We talked about Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Usually studying Torah works for all other bad midos. Problem is, and you guys, this is very relevant for you guys, is that it does the opposite for gaiva. Right? Very often, learning more Torah makes a person more gaivitic. And now he's talking within the realm of B'nai Yeshivas and with a Charusa and a Shiur and a Rebbe, and okay, that's a little bit of a different schmooze. But very often, when a person studies Torah and they look out around the world around them, they start becoming a little bit more Gaivedic. And obviously, right, the solution for that is not study less Torah, right? We don't want people studying less Torah. That's obviously bad. So you can't just, the problem with Gaiva is that you can't just like work on it. Right, because working on it could cause a person to study less Torah or whatever. Right? And if you just, kind of beat yourself into the ground, right? Again, we're going to talk about how there needs to be a healthy balance. Right, gaiva is not like anger. The Rambam writes that anger, right? You got to run away from anger. Right, don't even bother. There's nothing to do it to get as far away from anger as you can. Gaiva, as we'll see in a minute, right? There is valuable gaiva. Right, you can't just beat yourself into the ground. And if you do, right, that will cause you to do less Torah, to study less Torah, to do less mitzvot, right, do less chesed, right? You can't just do that. That doesn't work. So a couple etzes Rav Volbi points out that you could do on a daily basis to help yourself with your arrogance. First of all, a great time to work on your gaiva, right, is during davening. Davening is, as they call about, hachna lefnei habore, right? Literally, that means submission before Hashem, although that word doesn't, I don't like that word so much. A person has to humble themselves before a Kosh Baruch Hu when they daven, just simply, right? Because we're asking Hashem for things. I cannot do this without your help. I need health and wealth and chachma and all this type of stuff, right? That's a great place to work in your gaiva. It's a natural avenue to kind of lower yourself and remind yourself, right? Dalef nimiyata omed, realize before who you're standing during davening and throughout the rest of your life, right? Lefnimiyata asid liten din v'cheshbon, who is eventually going to judge us, right? And again, just naturally, if you're asking Hashem for things, you remind ourselves that we're at His mercy and you can't do anything without Him. Again, this goes back to all the shiurim on tefillah, that tefillah is not really begging God for stuff; it's really working on yourself, right? That's not for now, but that's a part of it. Rousseau Salanter writes in Or Yisrael that you can work on your gaiva when you're studying Torah. Again, this is more related to boys in Chavrusa study, but when you're studying Torah and you value someone else's opinion, right? Again, let's say you're in a chabura, you're in a shir, right? It's not so relevant or whatever, if your husband needs a shmooze, tell him to read it through, just a couple of pages. When you're learning Torah in a group, right, and you have a different opinion about what's right, so to listen to the other person, right, that also helps on your gaiva to consider what other person is saying. Again, in a chavrusa, this is easy when guys are learning one-on-one and they're yelling at each other about what Tosfos means. So again, this shmooze is like, kind of listen to your chavrusa and humble yourself a little bit. But that's okay, that's another thing. Another advice Rav Volbi does give is something called Shimush Tamid Chachamim. Again, also it's related to boys, but it
Wait,
also is
repeat
shaykh for you
it.
guys. What is it?
Was it Shivus?
Yeah, all right. Shimush Tamid Chachamim. It literally means to serve Tamid Chachamim. Shimush, Shim, Yud, Mem, Vav, Shin. But it literally means to serve Tamid Chachamim, but that's not. We're not gonna, that's a bad translation for nowadays, right? We don't serve people necessarily, but it means to do things for them, right? Again, it's easier in yeshiva and when you have rebbeim, etc. But for you guys also, it's also relevant for you girls. First of all, when you're just because why? Because when you're around great people, you're reminded of your place, right, and how far you have to go. You automatically become humbled. Again, this is just another reason to go see your rebbeim when they come to the United States to give a shiur or whatever, right? Aside from Torah, aside from the connection back to, whatever, to seminary, etc., it reminds you that you have to work on yourself, right? You have a long way to go before you get to their place. That just automatically helps, if it's other ways, if the rebbeim are not around, if it's being in touch with them, if it's, I don't know, selling your Rebbe sefer all over the place and putting up flyers and trying to, push people to buy it. So that's also Shimish Tamid HaChacham. That's also, again, connecting yourself with the Talmid HaChacham. That automatically helps with a person's humility. He points out, Rav Volbi points out that once you've, again, you guys have gotten from, so once you get, past the stage of kind of making that decision, and you need to work on this, even before you get married, he writes that after you get married, I would argue, you have to really, right, work on this even before you get married. So now is a good time to start working on it. He says that your entire success in building a peaceful Jewish home is dependent on uprooting your gaiva. Right? If you can't figure out how to lower yourself at the right time, right, to listen to other people, right, to join together and work together, because you might not always be right. right? So then you're guaranteed to have strife in a marriage, right? You think you know better than all the boys out there, and that's the joke. And okay, the wife is always right. It's just, again, not because I'm a guy, but it's just simply not true, right? You might be right most of the time, right? But it's simply not true, right? Sometimes you guys know better. Usually you guys know better, but other times you're just an emotional psychopath and he knows better. Okay, and you have to be able to humble yourself and realize that some, again, you don't have to bow down to him, but like sometimes you have to realize, again, so, yes, you have extra bina, but once in a while, right, the spouse knows better. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes, you can't even expect a Siyata Dishmaya at that point if a person has arrogance, because again, as we pointed out, right, it's 12 Asa Hashem. So that's something you have to work on right before you get married. What we quote Rav Dessler, he points out that a Baal Gaiva, right, just to give you a good mashal, right, he wants to drag Hashem down from his throne and sit on it instead. Right, that's because a Baal Gaiva is a steward to Emunah. But when we have Emunah that Kosh Baruch is in charge of everything, right, that's literally against, right, Gaiva goes against that. We talk about having emunah, and we talk on the Kosh Baruch Hu's, right, everything's in Hashem's hands, but then all of a sudden you, as the Ramban writes, you clothe yourselves in God's own robes, right? You are a Gaivadic person, right? And you think that I'm doing this and I'm able to do this X, Y, and Z, right? You can't do anything without Kosh Baruch Hu, and so Gaiva is a stira to emunah. One of the best things, says Rav Wolbe, to work on your Gaiva, again, we'll do two more pieces of Eitzah, how to work on your gaiva, according to Wolbe. One of them is to work on your patience. Very often we get impatient because we need things to be X, Y, and Z. We need things to be like this in our lives, and we get impatient when it's not, or we get angry when it's not. One of my rebbeim in Mavisera, Yishai Königsberg, so he gave Musar once a week, and he said, if a person is having trouble working on a specific midah, right, that's, the Yetzer Hara is very strong. That's how you're very gaivadic. So it's hard to work in your gaiva because the Yetzer Hara is very strong in this area. So he says, work on things on the boundary, work on other midos on the boundary that you may not be struggling with at the moment, right? But that will help, right, impart on the gaiva. So he says, patience, for example, when a person is more patient, right, their arrogance becomes less. Right, because again, arrogance and impatience and arrogance go hand in hand. So if a person works on their patience, right, and they're more patient when, you know, they have traffic, or a person messed up your order, or, you know, you have a disagreement with your spouse or the guy you're dating or whatever. So if you're more patient with other people, right, that will reduce your gaiva inherently, right? That's, again, that's just an eitzah in general. Right? If you're working on something to try and it's giving you trouble, so to work on something else that's, you know, within that realm. And a final piece of advice that he gives is that you can practice being humble sometimes throughout the day. You can find, he gives a great, fascinating story, but the story is a little bit, doesn't really translate so much. But he says you can find time and a place in your day to ask someone who's smaller than you, not like physically, right? Someone who's like, you know, let's say, I don't know, little sister, little brother, whatever, right? Or, you know, someone who maybe not is from, quote unquote, whatever. We'll talk about that in a second also. But find someone who's smaller than you, ask them for advice and listen to it. Doesn't have to be a big deal, but just to train yourself, right, that maybe you're not right. Maybe you could be humble. Maybe you could listen to someone else, right? It doesn't have to be a big deal, but just, you know, what should I have for dessert? And your 5-year-old brother says, have the ice cream, and you really wanted the cookie. So, you know, there's a value to having the ice cream. Right? He tells a story again. The story he tells is about an Admor who would go out of his way to do this. And once he asked, it doesn't translate so well, and maybe I missed the point, but he asked some guy about the weather once, and he said the weather was really windy. And he said, oh, I'm usually very cold. Should I go out to daven mincha and shul, or should I daven at home? And the guy said, well, if you're usually very cold, you should daven at home. And the Rav said, I will obey you. That's the story that he tells. Okay, you know, I'm not sure exactly, you know, but whatever. Long story short, find those places where you can ask someone for advice and listen to them, where it won't be such a big deal, and then, you know, you'll get used to working on your gaiva. Okay, Orchat Tzadikim. Let's go to Orchat Tzadikim, and that'll be the last of it. The Orchat Tzadikim, I don't know if you ever opened it. Fascinating. It's a great sefer. By the way, you can learn it on your own. It's not like, I don't know, Derech Hashem or Nefesh HaChaim, where you really need someone to guide you through it. You can read it on your own. The first shar, again, it talks about all these different midos, right? The Orchot Tzadikim, right? The ways of the Tzadikim. The first perek is Gaiva. The first perek, literally the first perek, is all about Gaiva. We're not going to go through the entire thing, obviously, because it's like 25 pages, but in a nutshell, He says that there is good gaiva and there is bad gaiva. As promised, there is a place for gaiva. There's good gaiva and there's bad gaiva. And we're going to talk about both of those. He says man's arrogance shows up in two places: in their goof, in their body and themselves, and in their actions and in their wisdom. Meaning actions and wisdom, one, and their body itself. And both of those have good and bad arrogance. Let's start off with the body, with a person's own self, right? Bad arrogance, right, is arrogance and gaiva that elevates yourself over other Jews in your own eyes, right? Even if that's only in your own heart, right? That's still, again, as we said in Mishlei, Toavas Hashem ki kol gavalev, right? Anybody, right, who has gaiva, who is a toeva, is an abomination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what happened to Korach, right? Again, he tried to rebel against Moshe. He thought they're kulam kadoshim. He tried to lift himself up, right? If a person flaunts himself and raises himself above other people, that person forgets Hashem and serves themselves. And that pride, that gaiva, will rule over you. It will stop you from doing chesed. It will cause you kind of to adorn yourself, right? Your physical self, to lift yourself up over other people, right? To show your own superiority, kind of you'll clothe yourself better. You'll conduct yourself in a different way. That leads, he says, that can lead theoretically to taivas, to immorality. Proud people desire things that demonstrate, right, their superiority over others. I remember a personal story, which I guess apparently not embarrassed to admit. When I was recruiting last year in November, I flew in for the New York Marathon, ran it with my brother, and then I went around recruiting. Well, they give out a shirt for the marathon, and you will not be surprised that I wore that shirt on every single flight for that entire trip. Now, did I know that I was going to get comments? Yes, I knew. Did I get comments? Yes. I got comments, and while it was actually pretty cool to kind of bond with other people and other runners who have done it, right, I was definitely being gaivadic over, that 400-pound dude 3 rows behind me. All right, look at me, I'm wearing a marathon shirt. I bet you couldn't even get out of bed in the morning. So yeah, I'm a Baal Gaiva. Chas v'shalom. That was a little harsh. Okay, as you can tell, I am a tremendous Baal Gaiva. And it was a comfortable shirt, and I didn't care. So yes, when a Baal Gaiva holds himself over other people, right? You wear different clothes, you have a different attitude, right? Again, that was bad gaiva, right? That is bad arrogance.
I think that's the only time in your life you were a gaiva dick. If I could just,
No,
I
that's
was about to say that if
if
Rabbi
you
Herman is gaiva, then I am. Like, Rabbi, you're the
All
most
right,
humble
okay. If
out
you knew
there.
okay, if
So.
you knew me at all, if you knew me at all. Anyway, thank you, very kind. Okay, let's talk about good arrogance though. Right? Because if you had, again, we all know this, and this is very nowadays, certainly our generation, depression, all that type of stuff. If you had zero self-worth, right, and you took it to an extreme, right? You dressed in rags and you wouldn't get married, or you live in a nice home, or wash yourself, or eat anything decent, right? That's not okay either. Right? So the Orchid Tzadikim says a person should wear plain clothes, pleasant, clean, not dirty. They should eat well, they should eat healthily, right? You should have a nice house, a nice kelim, nice utensils, a decent car, right? Wash yourself, right? The Medrash says, he quotes the Medrash, says it says Hillel Zaken, right, was once talking with Talmidim on Friday, and he said he had to run to go and do a mitzvah, and he was carrying, a towel and whatnot. And they're like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm going to the bathhouse." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" It's like, yeah, to wash yourself is a mitzvah, right? People are created in God's image, right? That image needs to be refined. You need to look decent. So you need to hold yourself. There is a good amount of gaiva that exists. So you need to hold yourself to that standard, and not just totally, right, throw yourself down completely. You need to have some self-worth, right? Certainly. So that's A. So there's good and bad arrogance in terms of your person, of your own person. And then there's gaiva, right, of your deeds, of your wisdom. And again, this he goes on at length. We're not going to read all of it or talk about all of it. So the bad arrogance is basically people kind of form this type of, arrogance in their heart and the way they carry themselves and their actions. You assume you're like the smartest person in the room, right? And because of this gaiva, you don't see the truth of your actions, right? You flaunt things, you take credit for yourself, even if you do mitzvos in your firm. But you're Baal Gaiva about it. So he gives a great mashal. He says it's like a fine dish, right? That's been burnt and is inedible. Right? Yitzhahara, right? Again, the Yitzhahara is very good at this, right? Sometimes, right, you guys got firm, right? Maybe Yitzhahara can't tempt you to do a certain avera, but he will tempt you with gaiva about that halacha. Right, look at me, I'm so from. Right, again, so he can't win in one area, so he'll go after another area, right? So he wants you to show off your righteousness to everybody. Look at me, I'm wearing bulletproof stockings. Whatever, right? That's a gaiva thing, and that is bad gaiva. Now there is good gaiva, because as you guys mentioned, I think I forget what maybe Talia mentioned or whatever. There is a certain pride in your accomplishments, right? That is good, right? Then the person needs to have pride in their accomplishments and their efforts and the things that they've done in their lives, because that will constantly cause you to strive for more, right? That's good gaiva, and it's necessary gaiva, right? You shouldn't just think that after you had a great year or two, you guys are all shut about it. You guys had 2 years that you did amazing things. You shouldn't be like, oh, I'm nothing. No, you should be proud of the fact that you spent 2 years, plowing and pounding, doing great stuff in seminary. And you should really be proud of that. And that will obviously cause you to go more. Not that it should cause you to be hold yourself over other people, but it should cause you to want to grow stronger, and keep on going. Now he says, just as an aside, he does say that this is a little bit interesting, and this is a little bit against maybe social norms. But he says that there's gaiva against Rishayim is also good. And he says that having gaiva over Rishayim, right, rebuke, giving them mussar and shaming them and yelling at them to be good and preaching against evil as much as you can, right, even though that's considered haughty in some circles, if it's done the Shem Shemayim, then it's good. But then you have to be careful, because if it's not done the Shem Shemayim, then it's bad. Right? Again, so that's depending, you have to know your own level, right? They say that Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman used to walk on the beaches in New York with a whole sign screaming that it's not tzniyos to be on a beach or whatever. So you have to know, yeah, excuse me, you have to know, what you're doing. He said, just like he said, he gives the example, and it's obviously a high level to, just like Mordechai didn't bow down before Haman just because, I don't know, just be humble. No, don't be humble before Rishon. Right? We should not humble ourselves before wicked people. And good guy. Again, if you're going to do it, for example, right, this doesn't have to be Rishayim specifically, but example that's shaykh for you guys. Let's say you're going to do a mitzvah, right, and people are going to laugh at you about it, right? You're going to dress tznius in the summer, and people are going to look at you and they're going to snicker. So I'm not calling them Rishayim, but give them the finger and do it anyway. Yeah, be tznius. There's that. If you're going to be tznius and your friends are going to laugh at you, well, forget them. Now maybe you shouldn't hang out with them. That's a different shmooze. We're not going to do that right now, but. Tachlis, right? That's what he's saying. That area of gaiva is good, right? If it's going to cause you to do mitzvahs, then it's okay. And just quickly, finally, if you feel this gaiva coming over you, so the Orach HaTzaddikim says you have to work on it, you have to root it out, right? Remember where you're going. If it's really overcoming you, right? Remember that you're Ofer Va'efer, right? Make Kedarim, etc. Again, if you find yourself being gaivadik about the clothing that you wear, for example, so don't wear those clothing, right? Wear something a little bit less, gaudy or whatever. If it's certain action, if you're very proud about a certain action that you do, so don't do that in public. Maybe do it in private. Okay, fine. There's a way to work on things. And he says you gotta uproot it. Now, with all that said, let's end on something positive. Rav Bunim Pshitcha says, and this is again something that's very, very important, as we mentioned. On the one hand, a person has to say Kol Olam Lo Nivra Elei Bishvili. Person has to be Gaivadik. Person has to say the world is created for me. On the other hand, though, I think he says about pockets. See, I'm not a chassid. He says Anochi Ofer Va'efer, I am dirt and ash. Meaning, a person needs to be humble and Gaivadik at the same time. Right? As we mentioned, there is good gaiva, there is bad gaiva. Right? The good gaiva comes right from when you are proud of yourself and your accomplishments, and seeing where you could go. The bad gaiva is when you start relating it to other people. Okay? So, as the Ramban says, right, again, he who is arrogant glorifies himself in God's own robes. Hashem gave you what you have, right? He can take it away. Chas v'shalom, right? So stop thinking that you're God's gift to mankind, because all of your abilities come from him, and they were given to you with a purpose, right? That purpose is not to look down on your parent or friend or boss or husband or kids, right? That purpose is to keep yourself growing and getting closer to him and raising a happy and sympathetic family. Okay? So stop wishing that you were somewhere else, right? Stop wishing you were someone else, right? Stop pushing other people down so you can feel better about yourself, right? There are two ways to make yourself feel better, right? You can either improve yourself, right? Or you can push people down so that you can feel like you're higher than they are. Okay, so stop pushing other people down, right? Start lifting yourself up, and amitzvah Hashem, right? In that way, live a happy and content life.